This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Michigan's election is called for Romney, but the super PACs keep the race going.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Adrienne Hill. We start with the Republican primary race, where frontrunner Mitt Romney pulled off wins in both Arizona and Michigan yesterday. They're big scores for the former Massachusetts governor, but not enough to push his opponents out of the race. This year's unlimited super PAC donations are giving more candidates the ability to compete longer. Marketplace's John Dimsdale reports.
In the primary so far, over 300 state GOP delegates have been selected. Yet even candidates with little chance of reaching the magic number for nomination are still in the fray.
It used to be that candidates for president would drop out after they lose a few primaries. Now they don't drop out until they lose the millionaires who are paying for the ads on those super PACs.
Larry Makinson has been tracking money in politics for 25 years.
It's not the voters who are deciding who stays in or who gets out. It's those people who are sending in those very big checks.
Checks that pay for a lot of negative ads, which Makinson says undermine voter trust in all the candidates. Professor Bruce Oppenheimer at Vanderbilt University says the longer super PACs drag out the Republican electoral battle, the tougher it'll be on the winner of the primaries.
That person is going to be a bit more beaten up politically.
Oppenheimer figures voter disgust with super PAC-sponsored ads is also contributing to declining turnout in recent primaries. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Now, let's do the numbers. Markets are down this morning, but we've got news. The U.S. economy grew at a rate of about 3% last year, better than initial estimates. Here's Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke speaking to the House Financial Services Committee about the GDP.
The recovery of the U.S. economy continues, but the pace of expansion has been uneven and modest by historical standards.
Midwest business activity also ticked up in February. It's more good news for the economy, but the markets, they're just not feeling it this morning. The S&P is down 0.4%. The NASDAQ is down 0.5%. The Dow is off more than 0.4% at 12,945. But it has been a good year for the Dow. It's up about 6% just in the last 2 months. The rise, though, is leaving a lot of regular folks behind. Jill Schlesinger is editor-at-large for CBS Money Watch and joins us now. Good morning, Jill.
Good morning.
So how much have regular investors benefited from this market run-up?
I think a lot of ordinary investors haven't actually participated to the full extent. If we look at the last 5 years, we see that investors pulled almost $500 billion from the U.S. stock market. So that means when people were freaking out at the bottom, they were pulling money out of the stock market, and they probably didn't actually participate in a big part of this recovery.
So they haven't gotten the benefits that maybe investors that were less skittish did.
Absolutely. And you might even say this, that there's a sort of an old saying on Wall Street that when you try to time the market, you don't have to make one great decision. You got to make two great decisions. One, getting out at the right time, and two, when to get back in at the right time.
And so how do regular investors avoid making the same mistake in the future?
You know, I still think that the tried and true diversified portfolio really does protect you. And it's not so much about your performance on the way up, but it is about not getting spooked on the way down. If the market was down 50% and your portfolio was only down 20%, now 20% is a big number, but it's not quite as scary as that 50. And I think more people are willing to stay with that portfolio if there isn't as much risk. I think the big lesson that we've seen is a diversified portfolio actually serves people well on the bottom, and it serves them well on the way back up.
Jill Schlesinger from CBS Money Watch, thanks.
Great to be with you.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Chartered Global Management Accountant designation CGMA, established by the AICPA and SEMA, cgma.org. And by Thomson Reuters, committed to empowering professionals of the world with the knowledge needed to do what they do best, the Knowledge Effect.
James Murdoch, son of media giant Rupert Murdoch, has stepped down as the head of News International. Now, News International is the British newspaper arm of News Corp, which has been tainted by a phone hacking scandal. James will now instead focus on the international television business at News Corp. The BBC's political correspondent Rob Watson has been covering the story and joins us now from London. Good morning.
Good morning.
So is this news surprising?
I don't think it's entirely surprising. In a way, James Murdoch had already started to distance himself from the UK newspaper part of Rupert Murdoch's broader News Corporation empire, so not entirely surprising, although that's not, of course, to say that it isn't being made a huge fuss of here in the UK.
And why the fuss?
Well, why the fuss? Because, of course, Rupert Murdoch's newspapers are front and centre of all sorts of attention, inquiries, police activities, and a general bit of soul-searching in Britain about the nature of the press and its relationship with its readers and, of course, with the police and all aspects of society. So it's a hugely hot topic, and right bang smack at the centre of it are the Murdoch newspapers.
So where do you expect this will move from here?
What we're already seeing is lots of speculation in the British media as to whether, although James has stepped down as head of the UK newspaper part of the business, that doesn't mean, of course, that he won't necessarily be summoned back perhaps to some of the various parliamentary and other committees who are looking into the whole hacking scandal. So it's over in terms of James's role in the newspaper business here, but I don't think his role is over in terms of all these inquiries that are going on into what went wrong.
The BBC's Rob Watson. Thanks.
Thank you.
And finally, Spam. The canned meat product turns 75 this year, and it's rolling out what the company calls its first ever spokes character, Sir Canalot. He's an armored, bearded knight, but it seems to me the cartoon knight does have a predecessor, pushing Spam as a breakfast treat from Monty Python.
What you got then?
Well, there's egg and bacon, egg, sausage and bacon. Egg and Spam, egg, bacon and Spam, egg, bacon, sausage and Spam, Spam, bacon, sausage and Spam.
That just makes me hungry. In Los Angeles, I'm Adrienne Hill. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Yelp uses the star system to rate restaurants. So how about using that same system to rate Yelp as a publicly traded company? How would it do, do you suppose?
I would give it probably between 4 and 5 stars for promise. It definitely has huge potential.
I'm Kai Rizdal. The Yelp IPO and the numbers from Wall Street next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.